Welcome to the Harvest Time Podcast, where our mission is the commission to make disciples. Join us as we delve into candid discussions, share inspiring stories, and take practical steps in growing together as dynamic ambassadors for the gospel. Get ready to embrace your purpose as a laborer in God's harvest field. I'm your producer, David Wiseman, and here are your hosts, Katie and Caitlin.
Welcome back to another episode of the Harvest Time Podcast. This is episode 5 and part 3 on our mini-series all about prayer. And today we're going to actually be walking through John chapter 14. There are so many amazing truths tucked into this chapter as it relates to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit and prayer. And so we just want to walk through this chapter. If you have the capacity, we would love to invite you to just listen as we read, maybe grab your Bible, take some notes. If you're driving, we hope that you can just soak in the word as you're going. But we're really excited to just invite the Spirit of Wisdom and Revelation to join us today and just see what his word says about the intersection of these things and Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. So I'm going to go ahead and read this chapter. I'll be reading from the ESV today, and let's just go ahead and dive in. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. And if it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known the Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me and does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father and the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here.
Wow, that's like so many things, Katie.
So many things.
Wow.
But it's powerful.
Yeah. I'm just sitting here like thinking about how a lot of us struggle to receive the love of God. Like we can say, God loves us, God loves you, God loves the world. But we struggle to actually receive it, let it go to our hearts. And we're like reading this passage and he's like, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one mm-hmm. who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. So mm-hmm. it's like crazy to me. There's like this relationship between obeying God and actually like experiencing, receiving his love, which we know in our minds, but often forget in our hearts. Mm-hmm. It's like if we set our hearts and all obeying the commands, even when we don't feel it, quote unquote, it will like release this revelation of his love.
Yeah. I think it's so interesting. And I see myself in verse 8 through 11, where, Philip is saying, okay, listen, show us the Father and it's enough. Like, as if everything that Jesus has done up until this point, and in this part of John, I mean, by the time we get to chapter 18, we're getting to the betrayal and arrest of Jesus. And so Jesus is very near the end. He's spending his last moments with his disciples, equipping them to be without him and promising the Holy Spirit and reminding them that there's a lot that's coming, a lot of trouble that's coming. He intercedes for them in his high priestly prayer in 17. And yet Philip has the audacity to say, just one more thing and it'll click for us. Like, just show me one more sign, give me one more proof and I'll be good. And I just get this sense of exasperation from Jesus, where he's like, I've been with you for how long and you still don't get it? Like, just this like really gracious exasperation from Jesus.
Yeah. You know what's so crazy about that is they're kind of in this mode of like doubt a little bit. You think mm-hmm. we could call that doubt?
I would definitely say so. Yeah, both Thomas and Philip do that.
Yeah, they're like some hesitation, but I love verse 12, 13, 14, because Jesus says, very truly, I tell you, he's kind of like emphasizing, you know, he's like, this is for real what I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. He's like, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. Let's pause there. He's like reassuring them. He's like, if you believe in me, like, you're actually going to release the kingdom.
Right.
And then Jesus has the audacity to say, and they will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father.
Right.
Like, you guys think about that. Like, Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, fully God, fully human, says, if I leave, you're going to do more than I did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's in both, like quantity, as far as like time. I mean, we've had thousands of years to come in power and for the Holy Spirit to empower us to do his works. But I think it's also in magnitude. Yeah. I think that's covering both ideas there.
Yeah, absolutely. I've always kind of said it like Jesus, you know, paved the way and he brought a few people, but like how many more people are we going to see go on the way, and have we seen go on this way that he made?
Right.
Right. That's amazing. And like, you know, it says you're going to do greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. So think about it. Like, Jesus walked around the earth as a person, just like Katie and I do. And if he was still here, people would just keep flocking to him. But the other reality is that he would only be able to reach so many people because he's one person. So instead, he left the Father, as we read later in this passage, sends the Holy Spirit, and he puts himself inside of our human bodies. And so it's like he multiplies his presence on the earth through his people. And so, mm-hmm. you know, I definitely am not advocating for the theology that we're little Jesuses, but we do have the power of God and the presence of God inside of us.
Right.
And we can go many more places together because there's more than one person than Jesus ever could in his lifetime, which I don't know, like the first time I started thinking about that, it really blew my mind.
Yeah, that's so good. I get hung up on this whole idea of whatever you ask in my name.
Yeah, I love it because there's this conjunction here. He says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name. So Jesus is like, believe in me, you're going to do the works that I'm doing. You're going to do greater things. Oh, and by the way, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. And, you know, I always wondered about that. And actually, the book that we talked about last week, Extreme Prayer, really does a good job of going through what that means, or I guess it was 2 weeks ago. But whatever you ask in my name. So in my name is in Jesus' name. And in Extreme Prayer, Greg Pruitt says, you know, it's not like you're going to ask for a red Ferrari, like, Jesus, give me a red Ferrari in your name.
Right.
It's not like this tagline on the end of a personal desire. It's like, we have to know what's the character of God, what's the heart of God, what are the promises of God. We find those things in his word, and then we pray in alignment with that. So it's not saying blah, 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 blah in Jesus' name. It's like, okay, God's will is for us to know him and him to be made known. So if I'm praying in alignment, like, God, please help all the people in Europe, like, know you. Okay, I'm praying in alignment with his name, and he's going to do it because he's the word, and he can't go against his own word because he is the word, right? And he's the perfect word.
Right.
And I love it because he says the motivation, like, not the motivation, the result of this is that so the Father may be glorified in the Son.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole point of believing in him and participating in the works that are even greater than his and praying these prayers is to bring glory to the Father. You know, I'm guilty of so many times praying prayers like, God, come and get your glory. Like, God, would you be glorified? Would you be glorified? Would you be glorified? And kind of extracting myself from, I got to believe, I got to partner in doing works because of faith. And then I also have to pray all in alignment to his desire, his promises, his character, his heart. And then I love in verse 14, he emphasizes what he's just said. He's like, you may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Mm-hmm. Like in the book, Greg describes this as a blank check prayer.
Yeah.
You know, imagine Jesus signs this check.
Yeah.
He's like, what amount do you want? Like, where do you want it to go? Like, I'm going to sign off on it. As long as, again, to emphasize, it's aligned with his word, his character, his heart, and his promises.
Right. And I mean, we mentioned that in our first episode when we were talking about Isaiah 6, you know, alignment comes before the assignment, and praying in Jesus' name that the Father may be glorified in the Son is the definition of alignment. That is what it means to be aligned with the heart of God. And that's where we can pull in, is it Psalm 37, where it's like, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Again, that doesn't mean that if you desire a red Ferrari, that is what God is going to honor. But if the desires of your heart are in alignment with God's glory and his kingdom coming and all of these things, then yeah, absolutely. The Father would delight in nothing more than to give that to you.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so good. And, you know, I think this next part, I just kind of want to keep going through this passage because there's so much here that's kind of connected to what we're talking about. But, you know, he goes on to say, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father. He'll give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. What in the world? This is crazy promises here. But he says, if you love me, keep my commands. And I think sometimes, you know, we're waiting for God to give us that assignment, right? We're kind of in this process of aligning our hearts. We're waiting, like, where do I go? What do I do, God? Like, I just want to do your will, that kind of deal. And I think there's this invitation, like, in the meantime, would you keep my commands? And then when I give you the assignment, would you still keep my commands as an act of love towards me? And he doesn't just leave us alone. He's like, I'm going to send somebody to live inside of you to actually help you live that out.
You know, I grew up learning about, you know, God's general will and his specific will, right? And I feel like we spend so much time chasing after his quote unquote specific will. So that's, I think under that umbrella, we would put, you know, what's God's calling on my life? What am I supposed to do for a career? Or who am I supposed to marry? All of these big life questions. We spend so much time chasing his specific will for us that I think we forget that his specific will is birthed out of obedience to his general will.
Oh, come on.
His general will, I think, is a lot more clear than we realize. You know, James tells us true religion is taking care of widows and orphans. When was the last time that any of us even considered the widows and the orphans and the unfortunate and the less fortunate in our communities? I don't know. I'm very guilty of that. There's so many very specific commands where it's like, if you love me, keep my commandments. Love your neighbor as yourself. Ten commandments. I mean, Romans and Philippians and James, I mean, they are chock full of just like, do this and blessing comes. Obey this and it will be well with you. And yet I think we just decide, you know, okay, the principle of this is, you know, whatever. We start pulling out and extracting principles rather than like taking God at his word and realizing like, if I'm obeying what he says clearly and explicitly, because again, God's not a God of confusion. We've talked about this. Then from that and my intimacy with the Holy Spirit, like I will know what God's call on my life is. I will be able to discern and hear God's voice because I'm already obeying what God's telling me to do.
Yeah. No, that's so good. And I'm even thinking of like John 6, like you want to know the will of God. Like literally it says, Jesus says, this is what God's will is. And right. It lines it out. And it's all about knowing him, making him known. And, you know, I think that really ties to this passage. You know, I want to love God. How do I do that? Like, it's really simple. You know, like we know his word. We believe his word. We act in obedience to his word. We pray that we can act in obedience to his word. And then we keep following the person who is the word. And you know, that's not to say it's going to be easy or anything like that, but he really does bless those who obey. And it's not some prosperity gospel. It's literally a promise that he makes. He's like, the things that I'm asking you to do are actually for your good and my glory, all in the same package deal. And so, yeah, we are going to be fulfilled by walking in the word, because that's how he originally designed us to function. And so I think that's so beautiful. And then, you know, tying this prayer concept in, it's like, we can actually pray that we're obedient to the word. And that's a practical tool I just want to give you guys. I was looking back over several years worth of journal entries, actually. And during those seasons, I would just be reading the scripture. And I would notice, you know, it says, be patient. And I'd be like, I'm not patient.
Right.
And so I would pause and I would say, God, I recognize your word of truth here says that I'm to be patient. I recognize that I have a deficit in patience. Would you help me to be patient?
Mm-hmm.
I turned into this prayer and I would like journal it out. And I was going back through and looking at those journal entries. And I was like, oh my goodness, like, I remember specific testimonies of the Lord aligning my heart to his word through just praying through the deficit. And I know that's because the Holy Spirit's in me and I was praying according to his will and his name because it was just his word.
Mm-hmm. You
know, it was that simple. And I loved that so much. And so I was able to be like, okay, I am walking in obedience because this is the word. And I could go to bed at night knowing, hey, I walked in obedience to God. And it wasn't like a pat yourself on the back. It was just like a, oh, finally, like I'm walking with the one who my soul loves.
Yeah, man, that's so good. And as you were talking, I was just kind of noticing how, you know, chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And he starts sharing about the Holy Spirit. He starts sharing about how he's going to come back one day. And in that day, we'll know that he's in the Father. He'll reveal himself to us. And then in chapter 15, he dives into intimacy with himself, right? I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser. And he unpacks the idea of abiding in him and he in us. And in verse 8, by this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. And how awesome is that he goes from this like promise of joy and this promise of intimacy. And then he warns them and says, listen, like the world is going to hate you. And in this, your sorrow will turn to joy. And in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the book of John is so beautiful. We've been studying it in church the past couple of, I think we're on like week 50 actually at this point. And it's all about believing and it's all about obedience. And so how beautiful in these past few chapters where Jesus is like, okay, obey. And I'm going to equip you with a helper to help you do that. Yeah. And that helper is going to provide intimacy between me and you. And in that, you're going to have joy to withstand the tribulation that you are about to endure. It's all this natural progression that all just hinges on like this intimacy and obedience and prayer. And then after all of this, in chapter 17, I know I'm kind of doing a survey through John here, but in chapter 17, then Jesus literally says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. And so he tells us how the Father is glorified, and then he prays for it. He promises it, and then he prays for it.
Ooh, pray what he promises. Let's go.
Yep. And that's the last thing that he, I mean, that's his last big intercession. That's his last big teaching for his betrayal, his arrest, crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. I mean, it obviously gets way better from there. But yeah, so good. I never really noticed that progression through those last couple chapters. So you are hearing revelation in real time.
Yeah, this is what happens when we pray that Ephesians 1:17 passage, I guess. He really answers. That's beautiful. I mean, I've never thought about it that way either. Mm-mm. And you know what's so funny is you're going on to John 15, you know, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking like, what's the greatest commandment? Like, love God, love people. And it's mm-hmm. so funny. He's like, you're going to remain in my love if you love. Right. It's this like circular reasoning and philosophy in the world would say, well, that's faulty, but God is complete. So of course it's going to be circular because it's complete and he's on it. It has no end. And you know, how many times, God, I just want to have joy. Like joy is my strength. How do I have joy? How do I have joy? It's that progression that Katie just talked about.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
So there's this invitation. I was driving in my car yesterday and I kind of want to land the plane here, honestly. But I was driving in my car through my city yesterday. I was praying and I felt this like new invitation from God to like really believe him at his word, like almost just like a facet of the Holy Spirit, like almost like a spirit of belief of the mm-hmm. word of God. And so I just want to pray that for us. Like, I'm just sitting here, you know, that revelation that Katie just got, I'm just like, man, like if I actually believe that fully and I walk it out, like my life is going to change and the kingdom's going to get released through me and it's going to be crazy. And so I just want to pray that like, we would just believe him.
Yeah.
You know, and that he'd show us who he is so we can pray in his name and obey in his name and remain in his love. So let's just pray. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your presence. Jesus, we recognize your intercession and desire to come back. And Father, thank you for your love. I thank you that you've given this new invitation to believe you at your word, to take you at your word. And so, Father, would you give us a hunger and thirst for your word that only you can come and satisfy? Would you help us to know what your heart, your promises, your plans, your desires are through your words, that we can pray them back to you and we can actually participate in seeing the kingdom of heaven come to earth, no matter where we're, if we're waiting for an assignment or not. Lord, would you help us to obey and abide and have joy so that we can withstand persecution that's sure to come when we give you our yes. God, I thank you that Jesus he abode with you. I don't know how to say that. That he abode with you, and that he just loved you, and that this is how he left his disciples, was fully equipped, and he revealed the next steps that they needed to continue walking in obedience to him, and how beautiful. But we thank you that the advocate, he lives in our bodies. That always blows my mind, God. So would we listen to you in our own selves, and would we hear your voice and obey your word and just walk in the ways of you all the days of our life? So Lord, would you bring alignment through your word before we even receive the next assignment? In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.